Time now for World Sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Kath Leahy. Coming up, England's batsmen keep the pressure on Australia in Adelaide. Sameer Nasri is the Arsenal hero as he takes them to the top of the English Premier League.
Van Persie plays into Nasri. Nasri's in all the way through. Nasri, brilliant stuff on the turn. Oh, it's a fantastic goal from Sameer Nasri. He's been a star for Arsenal all season.
And France go 2-1 up in the Davis Cup tennis final after a stunning comeback against Serbia in the doubles. So first to cricket, and England are 551 for 4 with a lead of 306 over Australia on the third day of their second Ashes test in Adelaide. The highlight of the day so far is a landmark performance from the England batsman Kevin Peterson. The details come from Joe Parsons.
Rain's prevented any play since tea, but the day has been belonged to Kevin Peterson. Batting with confidence and determination, he scored a second test double 100, coming off 283 balls that included 29 fours and 1 6. It's the first time in 18 matches that Peterson's reached three figures. His last century came against West Indies in March of last year. The men out earlier today, Paul Collingwood and Alistair Cook. Cook made 148 before he was caught by Brad Haddin off the bowling of Ryan Harris. Collingwood went LBW to Shane Watson just after lunch, having reached 42. So as we wait for the rain to stop, England are 551 for 4. That's a lead of 306 over Australia. Peterson, 213 not out. Bell is on 41.
Thanks, Joe. Now to football, and it's all changed at the top of the English Premier League. Arsenal moved above Manchester United after a 2-1 win over Fulham on Saturday. Sameer Nasri scoring both of Arsenal's goals. But as Alistair Bruce Ball reports from the Emirates Stadium, the scoreline doesn't tell the full story.
It was hard on Fulham, actually, who could have been three or four down after about half an hour, but they then came right into the game with their equaliser. Koscielny and Skilacci clashed heads, jumping for the same ball. It was nasty. Koscielny was groggy and hurt. Kamara took advantage and scored, and Arsenal suddenly looked shaky. Koscielny was stretched off. Fulham sensed their opportunity. They pressed hard in the second half, could easily have scored, if not one goal, maybe two. Arsenal's fans took their frustration out on Mark Hughes. He gave them a blast back. It was all good knockabout stuff, but eventually Fulham undone by Arsenal's player of the season, Sameer Nasri, with that little bit of je ne sais quoi.
It was a nervy performance from Arsene Wenger's team, but he says he's proud of the way his players are coping.
I must say we have a consistent spirit and attitude and hunger every day, and this team is fantastic to coach and to assist. In the results, I agree with you that at home we suffered a little bit, but we have been remarkably consistent away from home, and what we want to add is that kind of consistency, efficiency at home, but every game is very difficult.
So a good day for Arsenal with Manchester United's match against Blackpool postponed, but the frustration continues for Chelsea, who've now gone four Premier League matches without a win. They were held to a 1-1 draw at home by Everton, watched by the BBC's John Murray.
The Chelsea manager Carlo Ancelotti called this his team's most important game of the season, but despite the return of John Terry and Michael Essien, they couldn't win it. In fact, they might even have lost it, because Everton were the better team in the second half, and Chelsea simply didn't play well. However, Everton's goalkeeper Tim Howard could easily have been sent off in the incident that led to the penalty with which Didier Drogba gave Chelsea the lead. Ashley Cole had a strong case for a second-half penalty, but Everton thoroughly deserved the late equaliser that was headed in by Jermaine Beckford.
Well, Chelsea have now just taken 5 points from their last six Premier League games, leaving their manager Carlo Ancelotti very disappointed with Saturday's outcome.
Today's result was not good. Obviously, we wanted to win. We are still in the difficult moment, and we hoped that with this game we could move on. We were not able to do this. I think that because the second half was poor, we didn't play how we wanted, just a long ball, and this is not our way to play football, and so for this reason we didn't win the game. But and now we have to stay focused. We have to use the next game to move on this period.
Fourth place Manchester City finished with 10 men, were able to beat Bolton 1-0 courtesy of a Carlos Tevez goal. The City manager Roberto Mancini says the scoreline doesn't reflect their dominance in the match.
We had, I don't know how many chances, 10, 11, I don't know. But it's important that we won this game. It's important we won in 10 players. Today I think that we beat a strong team like Bolton because they play very well. It's a very difficult team. And I'm happy for this and for the guys, because they deserve to win this game.
Wolves find themselves at the bottom of the table on goal difference after their 3-0 defeat at Blackburn Rovers. The victory was an encouraging response from Rovers after their 7-1 defeat by Manchester United last weekend. But the Wolves manager Mick McCarthy couldn't find anything positive to say about his side's display.
Bad defending, I have that, because we started the game well. And we made a couple of errors that got them, gave them their opportunity with a long throw and then a corner kick. But we defended badly from the corner kick, and they work at them, they're good at it, Blackburn. But it was a bit soft and milky from our point of view.
After the heavy defeat they had last week, was this the worst time to play them? I mean, they were always going to try and bounce back.
Yeah, and after our great victory, we were determined to continue with that, with winning ways. So I don't know. It's like I said, Sam will be delighted. I'm really angry and disappointed the way we conceded the goals. There was poor defending.
Elsewhere, Tottenham let slip a one-goal lead to draw 1-1 at Birmingham, and Wigan and Stoke drew 2-2. There are two more Premier League matches later on Sunday. West Bromwich Albion play host to Newcastle United, and Sunderland are at home to West Ham. Liverpool play Aston Villa on Monday. Barcelona remain top of Spain's La Liga after a 3-0 win at Osasuna. Lionel Messi scored twice, but the match was played in controversial circumstances. Kick-off had to be delayed by 50 minutes after the Barca team arrived in Pamplona just minutes before the scheduled start. Barcelona claimed they'd been advised by the Spanish Football Federation that the match would be postponed until Sunday because of the air traffic controllers' strike, only to then be informed that the match would go ahead on Saturday as planned. They then made a frantic 350-kilometre trip by train and coach before reaching the ground. In the late game, Real Madrid beat Valencia 2-0 thanks to two second-half goals from Cristiano Ronaldo. AC Milan are 3 points clear at the top of Italy's Serie A after a 3-0 win over Brescia. Kevin Prince Boateng, Robinho and Zlatan Ibrahimovic with the goals. Borussia Dortmund are guaranteed to retain top spot in the Bundesliga for the winter break after their nearest rivals Mainz slumped to a 2-1 defeat at Eintracht Frankfurt. The leaders can widen the gap when they travel to Nuremberg later, and Bayern Munich's hopes of retaining their title suffered a huge setback with a 2-0 defeat at Schalke. Bayern are 14 points off the lead. Rennes have gone top of the French league after beating Monaco 1-0. They're a point above Marseille, who could regain the lead with victory over Nice later. And FUS Rabat of Morocco have won the African Confederation Cup. They won the second leg of the final 3-2 away to the favourites Sfaxien of Tunisia. Now to tennis, and France will take a 2-1 lead into the final day of the Davis Cup final against Serbia, needing just one victory in the last two matches to win the title. Looking ahead for the BBC, here's Chris Bowers.
Although he's been very good about talking up the team aspect, the prospect of Serbia winning the Davis Cup has been very much a personal triumph in waiting for Novak Djokovic. The world's third-best tennis player has put Serbia on the map in tennis terms and is arguably the Eastern European country's leading global ambassador. But while Serbia can still win tennis's premier team trophy, he can't now strike the winning blow. Following France's 5-sets win in Saturday's doubles, Djokovic must now beat France's Gael Monfils when they open proceedings on the final day of the tennis year, and then hope one of his teammates, either Viktor Troicki or more likely Janko Tipsarevic, can beat France's nomination, expected to be Mikhail Lodra. The fact that Serbia are 1-2 down would make any victory all that more ecstatic and a genuine team triumph.
Before we go, time to find out what's in store on Sunday's Sports World. Here's Richard Connolly.
Hello there. Our Premier League commentary will come from the Stadium of Light. It is Sunderland against West Ham, and the whole of the second half will be live, weather permitting. We'll also have the latest on the Ashes and the final of the Davis Cup tennis. Discuss LeBron James's first return to Cleveland and mountain biking in World Olympic dreams. We are on air and online at bbcworldservice.com from 16 hours GMT. See you then.
Join Richard Connolly later if you can. But for now, from me, Kathleen Heath, that's all the latest world sport from the BBC.